Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
So I guess first of all, we should say that we are trying out some new audio.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a multi-week process.
Of trying to get exactly everything right where we want it.
Yeah, yeah. So if this sounds worse, I'm sorry. If this sounds better,
You're welcome.
You're welcome. So, no, it's exciting. It's a figuring out process.
We have our own microphones now.
We are talking into different microphones.
It makes it feel legit.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is. I don't know if this is the true standard of our legitimacy, but I hope so.
This is where the advertising money comes rolling in.
Right, like, absolutely.
Oh, I heard they use two mics.
Right. Yeah, and then that Alpha Brain money is just going to be rolling in.
All right. Okay, what happened in wrestling this week?
They announced that there's going to be another pay-per-view.
Yeah, there's going to be. So it's technically a pay-per-view, right?
That's what Michael Cole or whoever called it whenever they first announced it. So I'm assuming, but the kicker is it's only going to be available on the network.
Yes. Okay.
And honestly, I feel like this is a great idea.
Uh-huh.
A, it's surprising, and it immediately got me excited. You know, Elimination Chamber, we haven't seen that in a while. And
that's one of your favorites, like your personal little makes your heart go thump thump.
A few years ago, mm-hmm. Yes. Over the course of the past couple of years, it kind of, you know, went down the drain a little bit for me, but...
Yeah, but so did the Rumble.
Okay, well, that's more of a booking thing than it was the actual match.
Okay.
Same thing with Elimination Chamber.
Yeah,
more of
same
a booking
thing.
Issue.
And let's honestly look at the last two Rumbles. You're like, those were not stellar Rumbles to begin with. Neither last year's nor the years before.
Well, yeah. Well, that was more. Yeah, like I said, that was booking more than anything else. But no, it instantly got me excited because A, it was unexpected, and B, you know, I think it's a smart thing for the network. You know.
Oh, I think
because.
So.
It's one of those things where, like, if you want to see it, you have to have the network. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. So, and it came pretty much, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it came pretty much right after Daniel Bryan, you know.
I think it was like a one match in between, but it...
But it was soon after...
It was right after Daniel Bryan's retirement.
Or not, don't say that. It was not a retirement, he was...
His temporary retirement?
He was... giving up the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes.
That's what he was doing. Don't you put words in his beard now. Okay.
No, it was right after he talked about, like, my career has, you know, I've sustained injuries that may shorten my career. They're like, aw, hey, here's a match that shortens careers with injuries. It's basically the big gimmick of this whole thing.
Okay,
I was like,
sure.
That's perfect.
But... how good, like, because they've had, like, this, like, revolving door of other Intercontinental Championship, you know, guys who are, especially, you know, around WrestleMania, we had, like, six guys going after it.
Right.
So, having an Intercontinental Championship Elimination Chamber match would be pretty interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
I'm assuming we're probably going to get two. We're probably going to get one for the World Heavyweight one for Intercontinental.
I do feel like we should get at least two, because if you're going to take the time to make the structure... Let's have a couple of those matches.
Right. Especially if it's going to be such a rare occurrence now that we're going to get an Elimination Chamber.
Well, okay, so here's the thing, though. So this pay-per-view, which, first of all, if they continue to do this, and, you know, I think they should because I think that's a good thing, but can we keep calling them pay-per-views?
Probably not, but at the same time, like, NXT, they just call them special events. Or they call it the takeover.
Mm-hmm.
The takeover
that's
series.
That's the NXT takeover.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, what, a network special or something like that.
Yeah. That's what this Elimination Chamber is. It's a network special.
But calling it a pay-per-view, at least for right now, calling it a pay-per-view makes it feel like a bigger deal than, like, the King of the Ring thing.
Right.
Wait, 2 weeks ago?
Something like, yes.
So, but that's the kind of thing where, like, when they did the King of the Ring, it was kind of this, like, oh, cool, they're doing King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to count for anything. There was no build-up. It's just being on the network. Like, it's not a real thing.
Right. And again, like, it's going to be another pay-per-view 2 weeks after they had another pay-per-view. So,
right.
There's not going to be a whole lot of build-up. We're going to probably see, you know, for everything that's not in the chamber, it's probably going to be a repeat of what we see at Payback.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think, obviously, the IC title will go to somebody new? Do you think the there's
any... Well, yes, it would go to somebody new.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Obviously that one. But because this is a network exclusive, and it kind of has this, like, not a real pay-per-view kind of thing to it, do you think that hinders this, like, feeling of, oh, the title's actually at risk? Because when the WWE Championship is, you know, up for grabs on an episode of Raw, that's cute. Not really, but...
I don't know if they'll do that with the World Heavyweight Championship. Maybe Intercontinental, they might be willing to give it to somebody that you wouldn't expect them to
I mean that...
Because it would lend itself to the whole, like, you know, look what you missed by not, you know, being on the network and watching this
right. kind of thing. And now, is this still technically in a free month, though, isn't this?
Yes.
So
it just piles onto that, really. Mm.
I mean, that's the thing, is this free month, you're getting two pay-per-views in the 3 month.
Right, so. And it's just another selling point. I get it, and so that sometimes makes me worry that they're just throwing stuff out there, and not really worrying about the actual content.
Right.
But at the same time, that sometimes means that they're more willing to take more chances.
Yeah.
With the content.
I will say, wrestling wise, I picked the worst time to be married.
Yeah, because you're not going to be watching Payback with us.
That's not wedding related, but no, I won't be. I won't be able to watch.
Well, it's just a busy month for you.
Yeah, it is. But
Elimination Chamber is going to be a week after you get married.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I won't be on the podcast for the Elimination Chamber.
So let's talk about that. When are you going to start not being on the podcast?
Okay, so I what
just
I'm
so
gonna
I can know as well.
Right. So I will. I'm on this week, obviously. I should be on next week, and next
should be
next week will be my last week before my hiatus.
Okay.
So,
all right. And for those wondering, I don't know what I'm going to do yet because I have this weird work schedule, and we always record this at like midnight. So, it'll be pretty much whichever guest I can get to show up at my apartment.
Classy ramblings.
Or it might be like if I can't get anybody, it might just be a one-man show that lasts like 10, 15 minutes, and I get all my, it's not going to be an hour long of me talking to myself.
Right.
But if like push comes to shove, we can do that. Or if, you know, we can wait till the weekend to record a special thing if there's nothing going on that week.
Tune in for an exciting mystery of how Chris is going to deal with being alone.
I hate you so much. I really do. I really hate you for leaving.
I mean, you'll be fine. I have faith in you.
I know it'll be fine.
It's Payback, then the NXT TakeOver. Then what's it? Elimination Chamber, just like bada bing, bada bang, bada boom.
Right. I mean, next week you'll be on, and it'll just be a post-payback show.
Post-payback, yeah.
The week after that will pretty much be a pre-Elimination Chamber show.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the week after that will be a post-Elimination Chamber show.
Yeah.
So if I have to do those by myself, then I'll do those by myself. It's the week after that, once we get into June, that's where I'm going to be like, Let's listen to some music now. Guys. How about that? Classy radio attire.
So here, I guess we do have to say, are we officially saying that we are doing predictions for Elimination Chamber that do count for our year-long prediction series?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Once they announce the card and everything, I don't see why not.
All right. I had to make sure.
All right. I mean, might as well.
Okay.
That's more reason for you to probably win by like one, which is some BS.
I mean, we haven't been doing the takeovers as far as if the takeover cards.
Well, yeah, and plus we only tend to know like a handful of the matches, and then you know there's a bunch of one-on-one matches that they don't really announce beforehand.
Right.
So I think with the takeover next week, I think I just know the championship, the tag team championship, and the women's championship matches. Those are the only ones that I know of.
Yeah, but
I'm sure there's other, I don't know, I think there's one with Rhino and
it's like
Baron
obviously
Corbin,
there'll be others, but again, they also only have to fill a 2-hour slot instead of a 3-hour
slot. Sure.
So but let's see. So I have finally kind of settled on my what the terms of my hiatus are.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, and I've kind of gone back and forth, like, thinking, like, I want to give drop this, do this, you know, remember to do this, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I think what it is I'm so for vaguely the month of June, I am going to watch because Money in the Bank is in June, I think, right?
I believe so.
So I'm
yeah.
definitely watching that.
Yeah, you have to. Come on. I mean, marriage is important and everything, but come on. Money in the Bank, come on.
And there's a fair chance that I'm going to watch The Raw after Money in the Bank, because I'm going to be like, well, let's see some fallout of what just happened here, you
right.
guys.
Right, yeah.
But other than that, I don't think I'm going to watch Raw. I think that's going to be the thing that I drop.
Okay.
Because, first of all, it's hard to drop Dirt Sheets. Like, it just is. Because
right.
there's like here's this rumor, here's this thought.
It's,
like,
it's part of your routine, really. Like,
it is.
The same
it is.
With me. Like, I go through, I check different, you know, websites, I check irrelevantbutawesome.blogspot.com, you know, and just see what kind of traffic we got, see if we got any comments, and then I'll go in and I'll check Reddit for our square circle and everything.
Yeah.
So it's just part of your daily routine, because if you take out one thing from daily routine, you're just looking at a blank browser and you're just like, I knew what else is there to do on the internet.
Yeah, yep,
you know?
Yep. You're having to like go through and just like start saying websites out loud until you're like, I do want to check that website.
You're just sitting there, it's like, is Live Journal still a thing?
but here's the thing. I was like, you know what it is that really kind of just like nizz on those pay per views when we're getting, and while we're getting like a pay per view almost every other week for a chunk.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that the mid card title or the mid card matches are matches that I've seen on Raw so many times.
Right.
And so if I take away Raw for a little bit and see if because I'm still gonna watch Money in the Bank,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna see if how excited I am for the matches on Money in the Bank that aren't the title match or the Money in the Bank matches.
Okay. So let me just see if I got this straight. It's easier for you to give up Raw than it is for you to give up Dirt Sheets.
Oh, yeah. No, it totally is.
You would rather read articles about the show than watch the actual show.
I don't think that should be that hard to comprehend.
No, it just means you're like the third member of Trashy Ring Attire. Really.
And then they seem to enjoy, like, they enjoy some stuff, because when we've had both of them on here, and they're like, you know, they're like, hey, I like the Dada match on a pay-per-view. I'm like, it's the 29th time we've seen that match.
Right.
Like, well, first time for me. And I'm like, oh, I am jealous of that.
Right. And also, I guess we've been accused by Jonah in our own private messages that aren't posted anywhere, thank God. Because, Lord, they would shut us down. He basically accused us of being overly nice to Cena in the past few weeks. That's the nicest way I can put how he said that.
Yeah.
I don't really think of it that way, because honestly, it's just us liking something that we think is actually good,
yeah,
and giving the credit where we feel like the credit is deserved.
I fully agree with that.
So I don't feel like, you know, hating Cena or liking Cena, we will hate on Cena if Cena's doing stuff that we don't like, as we will pretty much with anybody else. But if we actually like what Cena's doing, then, you know, we'll give him the credit. Like, I feel like that's only fair.
Yeah, here's the thing. So, you go through any, like, the past 5 to 10 years of wrestling, and you have guys who are doing their weekly match. And it's usually like Ryback had 3 months of the weekly Ryback match where Ryback squishes a guy.
Right.
You know, you had Bo Dallas, he didn't squish a guy, but like you had Bo Dallas's weekly match when you were
right.
building him up. You've had even CM Punk when he was, you know, forced to defend his title every week for a month or so during that, and he was going up against, I think, Mark Henry and stuff.
Yeah.
So you look at those. Cena's weekly open challenge is something that is consistently good.
Yeah,
it
especially
just,
in the past couple weeks.
It
yeah.
just is.
Mm.
And it is not the greatest matches Cena has ever pulled off. And if you're looking for that, you're reaching too high.
Right.
But it is arguably the greatest matches on each episode of Raw.
Save for that Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I was like, Dean and Seth is the only real competition
yeah.
it's had since WrestleMania.
Mm.
So, John Cena has because of this open challenge.
Right, and if you don't want to give Cena the credit for that, then by all means, give the credit to his opponents. You know, if giving Cena or saying nice things about Cena irks you that much, by all means, you know, give the credit to Sami Zayn and Neville.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like he's faced Neville, he faced Dean Ambrose, he's faced
Stardust.
And he faced Sami Zayn. Like, he has faced good people. They're not really throwing Heath Slater there. Like, they aren't doing it as a joke.
Right.
But yeah, but that's the thing is, like, so if you cannot find it in your heart of hearts to ever admit a nice thing about Cena, there's other people to credit. But the fact is that Cena has been in the best match on Raw almost every week since WrestleMania.
With a few
exceptions, namely the
Kane and John Cena. That's all I'm gonna say. That's the biggest exception. The one against Stardust wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but what else was great on that episode of Raw?
I don't remember anything else from that episode of Raw. So maybe that has something that says something about it right there.
It does.
I guess we should talk about Daniel Bryan dropping the Intercontinental title.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It really sucks, obviously, because you know it was this time last year where he was doing pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. Whether or not he'll come back, I can't really say.
You know what? Knowing Daniel Bryan, I do not believe he has wrestled his last match.
Right.
Will he ever have a run again like he once had? I don't know. Will he ever even have a real title run for a, you know, mid-card belt again? I don't know. Will he have a match in WWE again? Yeah, he will have a match in WWE, and I fully believe. I mean, Bret Hart still has had matches in WWE. Bret Hart was U.S. champion, what, like 4 years ago?
Yeah, I forget that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I would like to at least see him not wrestle a match for maybe the next year.
Yeah, no.
Just because I feel like that'll give him enough time to do whatever he needs to do, rest how much he needs to rest properly, and then come back and be able to work a few months or so.
Yeah.
I will take that over, you know, him never being able to wrestle again, obviously. So, because a lot of people, I've seen that online, that a lot of people are hoping he does the Shawn Michaels thing where he goes, like, a few years and then fully heals, fully rest, and then come back and have an incredible second half of his career. Because he's, what, 33?
Yeah.
I believe, I don't remember what age Shawn was when he came back, but he was in his mid to late 30s when he did,
yeah.
I believe.
No, I think we did the math at one point, and I think Daniel Bryan could safely take 2 to 3 years off. And still come back the way Shawn did.
Right, absolutely. And if anyone could, it would be Daniel Bryan.
Right.
As long as he's fully healed up and ready to go.
I think what's important kind of as a fan thing is about October, November of last year, we were all kind of sitting around being like, yep, and Daniel Bryan is coming back in the Rumble. That's right. What is going to happen. La 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 to anybody who says otherwise.
Right.
And I don't feel that way this year.
No.
I kind of fully expect no Daniel Bryan in the Rumble. Daniel Bryan does not need to be back in time for WrestleMania 32.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need that to happen the way that I felt like I needed that to happen
this past year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's just I'm hoping he doesn't rush back. And it sounds like no one's going to make him rush back. He himself needs to make sure he tells himself not to rush back. Excuse me.
I agree. I think that I think he's just he can take his time. I think that there's no reason. Okay, I mean there obviously is a reason. Like we all want Daniel Bryan back,
right.
and selfishly and jealously,
we want Daniel Bryan back to his WrestleMania 30. That persona, that ability to. To just take control of the crowd like he always did and just put on incredible matches.
Here's the thing. You know, I am missing what I'm missing and what I haven't gotten to see yet. I haven't gotten to see Bryan and Punk headline WrestleMania. And it doesn't have to be those guys. They best symbolize the indies still meaning something.
Right.
Like that's kind of what that is. And there's Seth Rollins could be another option there. Although he's a lot more, he feels a lot more in the trained by NXT camp than the brought up by the indies camp. And I know he wasn't. Yeah. I know everything that he's done in the
indies. It's that association with the authority.
Well,
it does a little bit.
You think that's what it is?
Absolutely.
I think it's because he was the first NXT champ.
Maybe.
I think once they had an NXT champ and were like, this, the NXT is the rookies.
Right.
Is the minor league.
It's like the entire brand pointed at him and be like, that's what we're all about kind of thing.
Right, right. That kind of like, here's the minor league, but still WWE kind of thing. When Daniel Bryan was NXT, it was still this goofy game show.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right.
And so, it could be Seth Rollins. There's, you know, there's enough indie cred for Seth Rollins to be right. The one where, but that Daniel Bryan versus to have those two indie guys main event WrestleMania. You can still work your way through the indies and hit the biggest stage, grandest of them all thing. So I'm missing that from Daniel Bryan, and I'm missing Bryan versus Brock Lesnar from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
That.
Those are, because especially since we were really hoping that was what our SummerSlam match was going to be, was Bryan versus Lesnar.
Yeah.
If we weren't going to get it at WrestleMania, we felt like we were at least going to get it then.
Well, and that's the kind of thing, because I was thinking about it before the podcast, and I'm like, the two matches I'm missing are Bryan and Punk at WrestleMania and Bryan Lesnar. And Bryan and Punk doesn't have to be Bryan and Punk. Here's what it symbolizes, everything I just said. Here's what it symbolizes. And I was like, Bryan and Lesnar doesn't have to be Lesnar. It can be, no, it's kind of got to be Brock Lesnar.
You can't really substitute Brock Lesnar with anybody else.
Well, that's the thing. Is like the in kayfabe, the next monster, you know, only worthy wrestling is Triple H. You know,
I guess, yeah.
The guy from beforehand who is this unstoppable monster who only wrestles a few times a year when an opponent is deemed worthy would be Triple H. And Daniel Bryan beat Triple H at WrestleMania last year, you guys.
Yeah, he did come.
He destroyed him, and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
And so I was like, you know what? If it could have been anybody other than Lesnar, I would have, the Triple H match would have satisfied that. But because I still feel like I need to see that Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar thing, mm-hmm. it's kind of got to be Brock Lesnar.
Kind of, a little bit, yeah.
So that's what I'm, in my heart of heart dream of dreams, that's what I would like to see from Daniel Bryan before the end.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I don't see that for 4 years, skippity-dee, fine and dandy.
We'll be celebrating in 4 years.
Yeah. I have a suspicion that Brock Lesnar will still be able to go in 4 years.
Yeah, and honestly, if as much as we would be happy to see it now, we want Daniel Bryan now, I feel like we will be happier in 4 years when he comes back, or however long it takes.
Well,
we'll be a lot happier when he comes back and he's able to go at 100%.
That's the thing, is like, if Daniel Bryan comes back in August, It'll be about 20 seconds of, oh man, I'm so excited, Daniel Bryan's back, let's all do the yes chant, hooray, hooray, hooray. And he's going to take that first bump, and it's going to be like in a mid-card Raw match, and I'm just going to go, I think Stardust just killed Daniel Bryan.
Right, yeah.
And he's going to get back up, and I'm going to breathe a sigh of relief, and he's just going to, forever.
And then he's going to continue the match, and probably fake it.
Every bump that Daniel Bryan takes, I'm just going to stress me out.
Right, and then he's going to go home later and be like, I should have done that.
So, and that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to have to sit through Daniel Bryan matches stressing about Daniel Bryan. I don't want to do that for anybody.
Well, okay. And then again, neither of us were watching at the time whenever Shawn Michaels came back and he had that unsanctioned match against Triple H. I wonder if people who were watching that were doing that, like, anytime Shawn took a bump with his back or whatever. Because, you know, Shawn's back issues were well known by everybody at that point. So, I wonder if people watching that live were kind of, like, having that same reaction, like, you know, like, gasping a little bit every time Shawn took a bump that was related to his back.
I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't know. I definitely wasn't.
Hey, Sideshow Bob, you were probably watching around then. Let us know.
Yeah. What was it? What was it like to
tell us about that magical far off land called 2002? I was 14.
I was but a wee tot.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like right at the beginning of high school when I was too cool for wrestling.
Oh right. Yeah, I was definitely too cool for wrestling in 2002. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, like, I guess we should talk about Payback.
Yeah, Payback is this weekend.
It is this weekend, even though you're not going to be watching it live with
us. So we do got to do official predictions.
Yes. All right, we're going to start with the kickoff show. We've got a tag team match of Curtis Axel, or I think he's billed as Axel Mania, and Damian Sandow, who is billed as Macho Mandow.
Really? For real? They're going with that?
Well, every time they talk about it on WWE, that's how they post that.
Yeah.
And they're going up against Ascension, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm gonna go not Ascension.
Yeah, no, me too. I did like the Mega Powers little reference.
I got nothing for the Ascension.
Mm-mm.
Like, I really genuinely got nothing for them.
Yeah.
Just scrub them clean and start afresh and everybody pretends the Ascension didn't happen. And
it's really hard to do these days, though.
It is. It totally is. But, like, I just got nothing for him. I think you take him away, you wash all the makeup off, you put him in completely new characters, and hopefully one of them will get to the point where it'll be a little interesting trivia bit that right. he used to be. The Ascension will be the Isaac Yankum of right. that guy's career.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, what are they called? Are they called New Mega Powers? Are they called?
I don't think they've given them an official tag team name yet.
All right, I'm gonna go the Meta Powers.
The Meta Powers.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll accept it.
All right, so I'm going Meta Powers.
All right, so but we're all saying that they're gonna win.
Yes.
All right. Moving on to Ryback versus Bray Wyatt in a regular singles match. Sure.
Bray Wyatt really, truly, desperately needs to win this match.
Okay.
I really...
Yeah, I feel that as well. Like, he really needs...
To salvage any credibility on this face of fear kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
he needs the win. He needs the win. He's lost to Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of just pretended that match didn't happen. And yeah, okay, I get that. If it kind of feels like... They told him he was going up against The Undertaker, and he developed this new face of fear thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we're going to have him lose, but we really like this new face of fear kind of thing.
Right.
So they're like, so after he lost, they're like, yeah, keep going with that. But the thing is, like, nobody's afraid of Bray Wyatt right now.
Right, especially if he keeps losing like this.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing is, and I don't think it would be that hard for Ryback to just be a little bit nervous about his match because he doesn't know what Bray Wyatt's going to do. And I think that would go a long way to, like, adding credibility to the match.
I don't know. Maybe Bray Wyatt beats Ryback at Payback. They're probably going to have a rematch at Elimination Chamber.
Right.
Maybe after being beaten by Bray Wyatt, he shows a little bit of, you know, that fear.
And, you know, that's fine. That's fine. But that's why I'm definitely picking Bray Wyatt, because Bray Wyatt needs this win.
Although, Ryback does eat negativity.
And crap positivity. And
poops out some positivity, apparently.
So, where are you going? Face of fear, positive poops.
No, I'm absolutely going Bray Wyatt.
All right.
Yeah. All right, so here's an interesting little bit that this match intrigues me. It is a 2 out of 3 falls tag team match for the tag team championship. New Day versus Kid and Cesaro, Team Upper Cats, as we like to call them.
Of course.
Joel, I'm going to take you back to a far, far off land. It was a time before online gaming when you only could play a game with you and 3 other friends because that's as many as your screen would allow.
Okay.
Okay. Whenever our group would play Battlefront 2, okay, we would have more than four people that wanted to play.
Right.
Right? So what would we do? Whoever got the lowest amount of kills on the losing team...
Something like that, yeah.
...was traded out, and whoever was waiting got to put go into yeah. the next round.
Basically, fourth place had to sit out.
Yes.
That's, I mean...
Yes. So, I feel like that's what we're going to get with New Day. Whoever, if they lose by pinfall or whatever...
The last guy to get pinned has to sit out.
Whoever gets pinned sits out of the next fall, and then they rotate whoever wasn't in the match at that point. So I absolutely have a feeling that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, because they like to say that they're all three tag team champions. So I feel like whoever, like, and it would be a good way to get like a cheap pin for one of the falls.
Right.
You know.
Okay. So
say
while we talk, look this up real quick. Who on WWE.com are the two tag team champions?
I've already checked. They're all three.
They're all three of the tag team. Absolutely. Nobody's acknowledging this.
No. They kept regurgitating Freebird rules or whatever a couple weeks ago. At least JBL did.
I don't remember this.
And if you haven't noticed, Xavier Woods has come out with the tag team belt around his waist a few times.
Mm-hmm.
They'll rotate it.
Okay, here's the thing. No, I am fine with those three guys rotating belt and saying that because I was fine with Lay Cool being co-women's champions right. and breaking that stupid belt in half.
And comically have a zigzag.
Yeah, as long as officially in the records, Layla was champion. Right. I think Layla was champion.
One of them was.
Yeah. I'm fine with Lay Cool being co-champions as long as like they were like, all right, this is the champion. So I want to know who are the tag team champions in the record book.
Joel, I am the tag team champions.
Because
bringing it back.
Well, that's the thing. No, that's the thing. Is like if we can do that, just get like 40 of your friends and try and beat the tag team of 40 people.
You're really trying to bend this whole Freebird rule thing. I think it only pertains to three people.
I'm just saying, there was one time where they pulled out a rule book to check a rule.
Here, okay.
What happened to the rule book?
They hide it whenever they want to. That's the point. That's the WWE's thing. They only care about the rules whenever they have a rule that they want to enforce and they want it to... be inserted into whatever storyline that they're trying to tell.
I would be okay with dumb rules. I would be okay with stupid breaking of rules mm-hmm. if there was, like, the tiniest iota of, like, acknowledgement.
Okay. All right. So, here's how I see this going down. Okay? Cesaro does something incredibly manly and powerful and essentially kills Kofi, gets pinned, 1, 2, 3. While Cesaro's got his back turned or whatever, Xavier decides that he's in the match now, comes in, gets a quick roll-up pin on Cesaro. There you go, tied 1-1, and then they'll play it out however they want from there. That's how I feel like they're going to insert, you know, each right. other or whatever. However, how amazing would it be if... Team Uppercast decides that they are also going to play by Freebird rules, tags in Natalya, she gets the pin and wins.
I mean, yeah, that'd be nice.
Eh?
I don't know if it's eh.
Eh?
I don't know if it's eh.
That'll be some... Okay. Just take all the wind out of my sails, you jerk. I thought it was a good idea.
I don't know. I mean, we're not allowed to have...
If not this time, then they'll have like another two out of three falls over at Elimination Chamber, and then that'll be the kicker at the end.
I mean, I also would not hate it if a third Uppercat member came running down to the ring and they tagged him in.
Yeah, Natalya. Come on. Why are you not on board on this? Give teams a chance.
Because they can't have the mixed tag teams work like that.
That is sexist.
It's not my rule. It's the one rule WWE seems to enforce.
Nope. I'm blaming you for this.
They won't enforce any other rule. I have to grasp onto the single rule that they will continue to enforce.
This conversation is disgusting. You disgust me. Ladies, if you're listening at all, this is Joel Leonard. He's speaking for himself.
Do we have a Divas match so I can talk about it?
No, we don't. I didn't even...
Didn't notice it wasn't a Divas match. Who's sexist now?
WWE.
That's what I was saying.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Who are you going with for the
New Day? Tech?
New Day? Yeah, me too. Ziggler versus Sheamus.
Ziggler.
Yeah.
It worked for me last time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pick... I'm
sticking with you.
I'm not going to pick Sheamus over Ziggler.
No.
Can't do it. Can't do it in my heart.
Yeah. King Barrett versus Neville. You got to give Neville a win.
You think?
Like, he's... I mean, yeah, he's...
This is his third match, right, against Barrett?
Yes, and he's won... He won one last at Extreme Rules, lost King of the Ring, and now this is their third match. Their third one-on-one match.
Okay, all right.
I would say Neville.
Because Neville,
he's one of those guys that looks great even if he loses.
But you still gotta
give him a win.
That's what I was thinking is like Neville's since his debut has lost more than he's won.
Pretty much
by a fair majority, and every time he loses, you can go to any comment board and it's like this is how you build a guy through losses. This you know it's great that they're not doing, and I do think it's great they're not doing a monster, but I'm dying them, and so it's great that they're not. Doing that for Neville, and I do think he looks good in all these matches, but I think there's only so many times you can say this is how you build a character even when he loses.
Right.
Because at some point he does have to get a win. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you're right. I'll give it Neville.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you on that. I quit match for the United States Championship, John Cena versus Rusev. Would this be the first ever I quit match that John Cena loses? The answer is no. It's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Mr. Never Give Up? No.
Mm. No. John Cena, we know that John Cena will not say I quit. Like, that's not going to happen.
But you think this will be the return of the tape recorder?
The recorder? I was like, when's the last time recorder has happened?
Miz. Yeah, so 2011.
And so we've definitely been taking long enough for the recorder to return. And John Cena has definitely said, I quit in the promo buildup.
Quite a bit, yeah.
And so...
I remember John Cena saying a lot more in 2011.
The thing is, he said it... He said it very clearly and very separately when he came up to the ring and said, I quit. Pause. You won't hear me say those words.
Yeah, it was something. It was very much something along that nature. Yeah, all right. Yeah, no, but I don't see that happening this time.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm totally going John Cena.
You're just trying to find something to talk about?
Well, I wanted to see if I could push you over to Rusev.
Yeah, no, absolutely not, no.
Hey, all right.
All right, so Fatal 4-Way for the World Heavyweight Championship. Rollins, Reigns, Ambrose, Orton.
Do you think Seth is going to retain?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. See, I'm going to go with not Seth.
Hmm. You do know you have to pick a winner.
Right? That's the thing. That's where I'm.
You can't just pick the field and get points.
No, I'm aware.
Especially when that's 75% of the match is other people.
That's what the talking it out is for. But I want to hear your reasoning for it definitely being Seth.
Other than it just not feeling like the time for him to drop the belt yet.
It doesn't feel like Kane's going to cost Seth the match. You don't think we've hit that point in that little storyline yet?
Yeah. There's the added stipulation that if it was heavily implied, I should say, that if Seth loses his championship, Kane will probably be relieved of his director of operations duties.
Right.
So I don't know if he's going to cost him the match.
But there's clear plot breadcrumbs to follow there.
Yeah, unless they want to, like, just use this to reinvest in bad heel Kane, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you're still going with Seth?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Because I don't know who I've... Like, this is... It's very rare that I go into these podcasts not having my picks already done.
Right, because usually you spend it trying to persuade me to go with opposite of you so I would get it wrong.
Not always, not always. You can't give me a look into the microphone, Chris.
I decided to give you a look, and I thought maybe I'll come up with something horrible to say to him. But no, I just decided to glare at you instead because that's what you deserve.
He like gave me a look and then leaned into the microphone to really emphasize this look you were giving me.
I believe our fans could sense it. No, no. They're more evolved than most podcast listeners.
My point here is my point is that no, I usually have what I'm gonna do, and I'll talk it out with you, and I want us to be different more for the sake of the game, because if we have the exact same thing the whole time, then no, it's
because
no fun.
I think we're pretty much
this is the only thing we're differing on.
Okay,
yeah, because. Okay, so here's my question, though. If you couldn't pick Seth, who would you pick?
Probably Roman.
Roman? You think that would be pulling the trigger on Roman?
Yeah. But then again, that feels a little soon.
It does feel soon. It does
feel
soon.
I feel like if they're going to put it on Roman, they're going to put it on a bigger pay-per-view.
That's the thing. It feels soon for Roman. It feels like Randy's not going to get back in that thing. So that leaves me with Dean.
Yeah, and you heard a little rumblings, you know, around WrestleMania, and at the dirt sheets that was basically saying that Dean was going to get a push fairly soon.
And that's the thing is like, so I've been kind of leaning towards Dean Ambrose, and I'm like, it kind of feels weird that I would be legitimately thinking Dean Ambrose is going to take the championship, but I think I am going to go unless you really think it's a bad idea.
I mean, when you put it that way, Dean seems like a pretty good option because, it doesn't feel like they're going to put the belt on Orton.
It doesn't. You know? Orton doesn't feel like Orton. It doesn't feel big enough for Roman.
But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. You know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Is like, but if Dean Ambrose wins, that will make Roman the last member of the Shield to be WWE champion.
Right.
The intended first member of the Shield to be WWE champion. Is now going to be the last member.
And I vaguely remember a podcast around last summer where I stated that Seth would be the first one to have the championship.
Well, you are welcome to look that up.
I won't.
Then it didn't happen.
But I vaguely remember saying something like, unless I said that Roman would be the first champion, then that would just be dumb. But yeah, I vaguely remember saying something about that. I don't know, and I'm not gonna claim full wizard status on it just yet.
That's
but.
The thing. Like, I think I'm gonna go with Dean Ambrose. I think it's a wild shot in the dark and a very much a Hail Mary pass.
Yeah.
And I think I'm still winning in the game, so I'm okay with going a little off the rails on this one.
Right.
And we also the part of it is like we also do have Elimination Chamber in like 2 weeks.
Right.
Where this title is gonna be defended again. With 6 people.
We assume as much, yeah.
So that's the thing. It's like it's very easy to be like, all right, so it's those 4, and then you add Kane and another wild card into the match.
Right.
You know? So I think I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose.
How great would it be if they added Brock Lesnar to the Elimination Chamber?
I desperately want to see Brock Lesnar. That's the thing. Here's to get back on Brock Lesnar for one second. I want to see Brock Lesnar in the gimmick matches. That's what we haven't seen.
Right.
We've seen him in only in one-on-one matches.
Yeah, and they've been like
He was in a triple threat match in WrestleMania for like two minutes.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to see him in something other than, you know, those one-on-one matches that he's been in nonstop.
Yeah.
And it feels like around the time where you should start, you know, kind of poking his head back in and be like, oh, hey, guys, I'm still here.
At Elimination Chamber? I figured he wouldn't show up till SummerSlam.
I'm thinking, well, at least start making appearances after Money in the Bank.
See, that's what I want him to show up in is Money in the Bank.
Right. I mean, he's not going to show up. He's not actually going to be in a match, probably. If I had actually put money on it, he wouldn't actually be in a match until SummerSlam.
Till SummerSlam, yeah.
But
that's the thing. Is like I would really like to see Brock Lesnar in a Money in the Bank match or in an Elimination Chamber match or in the Rumble. I would love to see Brock Lesnar in the Rumble. Or even Brock Lesnar in like a Survivor Series elimination style match. I just something that's not a one-on-one match. That's all he's done.
That'll be a good.
He wasn't a triple threat match at
Royal Rumble.
Royal Rumble. That's it. He has had one triple threat match, but still, come on.
Come
on.
Lock five other people in a cage with Brock Lesnar. Let's
watch that.
I guess we are forgetting the cage match between Triple H.
I am happily forgetting the cage match between Triple H.
Really? You're forgetting about the silver spray painted sledgehammer?
Yeah.
That was oh so just
deadly?
Carefully hidden.
Brock Lesnar needs to not fight Triple H and needs to not fight John Cena. I've seen that match.
Triple H needs to come out with a book.
Six times.
Triple H needs to come out with a book that's titled 101 Ways to Hide a Sledgehammer.
Hammer hide?
Well, now it sounds weird when you say it like that.
It sounded weird when you said it like that.
Did it?
Alright.
Alright.
What's making you happy, Chris?
Oh, Lord, what is making me happy? Alright. Dear God. Okay. Mad Max is coming out.
Mad Max is coming out.
I don't know if I'm gonna get a chance to watch it this weekend, but hopefully I'll see it soon.
Yeah, and I've spoken to you about it, but Mad Max is making me very happy, very excited.
Yeah.
Because really specifically, it is a R-rated movie that is a $150 million budget coming out in the summer in May.
Yeah.
This is near unheard of in this day and age.
Right.
You have stuff like Die Hard and like Terminator where they water it down to PG-13 specifically for that, you know, that safety rating.
Genesis hasn't come out yet, right?
Genesis has not come out. It's coming out in July with a PG-13 rating.
Gross.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like, you're like, okay.
Ew, yeah.
I guess. And, like, and the rated R stuff and that you have is, like, it's pushed to August, that kind of thing. It's, or you have these, like, kind of these cheap remakes, kind of like RoboCop kind of thing, where it's clearly just trying to cash in on that name thing. And this Mad Max, which would be very easy to do a name cash in, quick movie, put it out in August, and that kind of thing.
Well, what gives you pause is the fact that they got the original director. Well,
this original director has been trying to make this movie for close to 25 years. Like, he has had his idea for Mad Max 4. And he's been working on it. And
that's the thing is that, and you wrote your article about this today, and you said that, you know, it's not a reboot, it's not, you know, a restart or anything like that. And, like, this is Mad Max 4, essentially, that they had to do with different characters because it's been so long.
Yeah,
New actors.
Yeah, which is fine, because, again, if you've seen the Mad Max movies, Mad Max is post-apocalyptic James Bond. It's, you know, it's each movie is its own little standalone beginning, middle, and adventure.
Right.
That doesn't really affect the others.
Right. So, like, when a James Bond movie comes out, you don't need to rewatch, like, the, I don't even know how many other James Bond movies
before it.
So, yeah, it's very much the same thing, almost a standalone kind of thing.
So I'm saying, and by all accounts, Mad Max is fantastic. It's gotten great reviews. I haven't seen it yet, but it's gotten great, great reviews. So, on top of all that, apparently it's a good movie.
And then there's Tom Hardy. The guy is perfect in every way.
Yeah, and then they got that dude in it.
How dare you.
That nerd.
So, thank you for making my point on what's making me happy. What's making you happy, Joel?
What's making me happy? What wrestling related on our wrestling podcast. Do you even have wrestling and you're making you happy, jerk?
I gotta think.
Honestly, the Elimination Chamber announcement is making me happy. It's really exciting for them to be doing this thing on the network. Because it's a big thing on the network. Like the Royal Rumble, or not the King of the Ring thing was cool and all, but it's not that hard to do a King of the Ring match. Elimination Chamber is a big thing.
Right, especially when they've said like they can only do that in certain arenas now.
Right, they kind of cut out Elimination Chamber because they theoretically couldn't do it anymore. And so to do that and to go through all that effort to build that Mondo Chamber for the network feels like a real thing for the network. Like that's part of the thing is like, so far the network has been clip shows.
Right.
They're real.
Full on nostalgia.
Yeah.
Type.
I mean, Countdown is a clip show. Two Hot for TV is a clip show. Even Monday Night War, which is more documentary and has like original interviews and stuff, but it's still by and large a clip show of nostalgia.
It's a foundation of nostalgia.
The newest content they've had is Legends House. Which is Legends House.
Yeah.
And so, Elimination Chamber is kind of an exciting theoretical step in the right direction, depending on how the actual event goes.
True.
But yeah, that's what's making me happy.
Okay, alright. NXT's got their next special events coming up, so, I mean, just looking forward to that, because until they fail to deliver, I'm going to continue to be excited.
Oh, that's
fair. And I don't see them failing to deliver anything.
That's totally fair. Do you think... So here's the thing. So back in December, we had NXT be amazing, and then this whole, like, don't let NXT show us up at TLC, right. Boys, and it totally did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think we're going to have that kind of with Payback and NXT again?
Had NXT happened this week instead of next week, probably.
Do you think we'll have Payback and it's like, all right, Payback happened. Now for the real show of NXT, exciting.
And then turn around and have Elimination Chamber like almost a couple weeks right after that. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
There might be a whole lot more quote unquote pressure on the main show guys
to top stuff.
To top that.
But
and then
when they were hypothetically so recently topped with Payback and NXT.
Because we had gotten, you know, so many reports that, you know, so many guys wanted to top that one special event with, what was it? It was TLC.
Yeah, TLC.
And then TLC ended up being a complete stinker.
Yeah, it did. So that was the thing, is like, because we remember we were kind of sitting there being like, oh, yeah, they're going
to
bring Ray.
So if that's them trying, stop trying. Do go back to whatever you're doing before that, because at least that wasn't that.
Yeah. All right.
So I know I told you that there weren't any male sex submissions, but over the course of recording this, we did get something in the mail sack.
You're a filthy liar.
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's
And technically, no, I'm not a filthy liar, because like I said, this was sent to us as we're recording. So, Joel...
Title of this podcast, Chris is a filthy liar.
Sure, why not? This comes from @EvilJackalopes on Twitter. So, Daniel Bryan, trained by Shawn Michaels, which of the two has vacated more titles? Probably Daniel...
Recently?
Really? You retired like 6 years ago. Or five. I don't know. Regardless.
Shawn has just retired... just on the one, right?
I believe he just dropped the one. Unless they made him drop the Intercontinental.
Okay, here's the thing. All right,
I think they've dropped the same titles. Holy crap!
Telling you, it's the exact same career. Here's the splitting of hairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's who has relinquished more titles?
Mm-hmm.
So Shawn with his WWE title, what was it, WWF title at the time?
Yes.
He relinquished the title. He came up,
lost his spine,
gave it to Vince, says, I can't do this right now. Bye, guys. Daniel Bryan was stripped of the title. Daniel Bryan did not want to give up his title.
Okay, now you're splitting hairs, though.
I'm pretty sure I called this the splitting of the hairs.
Yeah.
Not 2 minutes ago, Chris.
Still.
Thanks for listening.
Still, why even bring that up, though? Like, come on.
Well, because Daniel Bryan, he relinquished the IC title. I mean, and it's a storyline thing, and part of it is, it's really how soon do we think he's coming back?
Right.
They thought when he lost the main title, they thought he was coming back soon enough that they can have this heat in return, and we'll use Brie as a placeholder, and that happened.
Right.
And then people wished people had died in wombs, so. One thing led to another.
All right, I guess I deserve that because I reminded you of that steel cage match.
That's right.
So you now jerk. I get died in the womb. Ugh. All right, fine. But I feel like there was a point where Shawn Michaels might have given up an Intercontinental Championship match and led to, like, there being, like, two Intercontinental Champions at one point that may or may not have led to...
I think,
like, behind the scenes, it was just because, like, Shawn really, like, he really got beat up at a bar or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely talking in the my personal wrestling dark period.
True, and my mind is just such a cobweb when it comes to stuff back then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, Sideshow Bob, you mm-hmm. tell us what the right answer is, please.
Tell us what it was like when Shawn Michaels wrestled.
Even though technically he's the one that asked that question. Oh my god, I just now realized that they're the same guy.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, who we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, your thoughts on Payback, Elimination Chamber, all that stuff, send those to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
Don't forget we're on iTunes. Easiest way to follow the podcast. Just click on it. Look us up. Subscribe. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. All that stuff just helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Don't forget you can like us on Facebook. Easy way to keep up with us. Easy way to keep up with the podcast and other things that we do.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.